Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Okay, let's take a look ahead at what to watch on our screens, big and small, in the week coming up. And I'm joined today by editor of the Business Post magazine, Nadine O'Regan, and Dave O'Callaghan from the From Here and Back Again film podcast. You need to come up with a snappier name for Dave. Just call it Dave. Dave could work as a name or something, yeah. Dave, just briefly, so we've given Napoleon plenty time in this show. You've seen the Bonaparte film?
Yes.
Yeah, any good?
I absolutely adored it.
Is Kieran Culkin in it, no?
Unless he's hidden on the battlefield somewhere. Yeah. But no, I thought the soap opera part surprised me because I thought it was going to be more action. But then actually what it does is let them, Vanessa Kirby and Joaquin Phoenix, go mad. And it is mad. But then when you get to the battle scenes, you have to see it on the big screen. Like he does stuff with battle scenes that you haven't seen in a long time. And I think...
Really, yeah.
So it's a love story and an epic war. So I'm all in. I love this. I just thought. And then Rupert Everett turns up for 20 minutes as the Duke of Wellington and is
astonishing. You can always do a bit of him. Yeah. Okay.
No,
will it be on Apple soon?
It will, yeah. They're just they're keeping it quiet like they did with the Scorsese. It'll probably either, I don't think Christmas, but probably January it'll turn up on Apple.
But you think worth seeing on the big screen?
Absolutely.
Okay. Nadine, also in cinemas, Ken Wardrop's documentary, So This Is Christmas, and we had two of the subjects here last week, and there was a huge response from the listeners.
Yeah, and understandably so, because we're always sold this dream of Christmas, the ads, the tinsel, everyone is meant to enjoy Christmas, and this documentary takes a very unusual slant, because you do see the festivities, and you see the people in shops inquiring if you have the shopping ready for Christmas, if everything is done, but you also see the real life stories of what people are coming home to. And Ken Wardrop is a very sensitive documentary maker, and he allows for a lot of space and sort of a meditative quality in the film. So he would talk to, although he's not present in there, you just hear the testimonies of several people. So there's Mary, a 40-something woman, who's explaining what life is like when you're approaching Christmas from the perspective of somebody who's had a very long-term eating disorder, which she's had. There's also a widower in there who is just so agonised at Christmas time, and it's a very hard watch actually at points, because you see the vulnerability of many of these subjects. There's another person featured who just doesn't have the cash at Christmas, and that's a reality that exists for so many people at Christmas time, but nobody wants to really talk about it. So what I was actually amazed by particularly is the fact that Ken Wardrop managed to get these people to speak so revealingly on this subject, and it really is quite special for that. It's not your typical watch in the sense of, you know, like as I was saying at the start, the festivities are there, but it's a very unusual slant and it will leave you thinking. It's in cinemas now.
So This Is Christmas. Dave, you are saying that A Murder at the End of the World on Disney Plus is going to be our new obsession, which is a big, brave claim.
Oh, well, absolutely. So this comes from the creators of The OA, and anybody who remembers that, that was a bit mad. So this is a psychological thriller, murder mystery set on an isolated resort in Iceland. This so Emma Corrin plays Darby, who's basically an amateur sleuth slash hacker, who's one of nine guests invited by Clive Owen, the billionaire, and then one is murdered, and then she's trying to figure out who killed it. And 7 episodes. I was looking to get the screeners. They gave us the 7, and I did it in one sitting. I was absolutely at the edge of the couch, losing my mind. It's very Knives Out, Glass Onion meets Girl with a Dragon Tattoo. Darby is kind of
a White Lotus in there at all.
Bit of White Lotus. Privilege is all in there, and it's AI and climate crisis, and it's all there. But the amateur sleuthing is great, and there's a bit of Sherlock Holmes vibes, and I just think Emma Corrin is amazing. They're just such a talent.
Okay, A Murder at the End of the World on Disney Plus. They're all going up together.
2 is up now, and then you'll just be every week going, when's the next one?
Okay. Nadine, on Netflix, so the Squid Game game show, Squid Game The Challenge, is finally here.
It is coming on Wednesday to Netflix, and it's so anticipated. As Squid Game, the original South Korean hit, made, would you believe, $900 million. So they had cash to spend on this, which is a game show version, which essentially sees 456 contestants compete for the biggest cash prize ever, which is $4.56 million, is up for grabs. It's 10 episodes, and it has to be said, it's quite uncomfortable viewing at points, because if you remember the original Squid Game, it was about a series of players who will lose their lives if they don't win.
They're not killing people off in the game show.
They're not killing people in the game show, but the thing is, there is ink that explodes on their chests every time they lose, and they go down and they flail and they go, I'm dead. And you feel very uncomfortable watching. And there's also a lot of mind games. So there are points where contestants who may, you know, in their lives leading up to being on the show, maybe have a background with mental health, anxiety or other things. And those tendencies are re-emerging. So, for example, there's one episode where a contestant starts feeling a little bullied by his fellow contestants, and he literally starts trying not to puke. And you're watching him as he's trying not to vomit, and you're thinking to yourself, should I be watching this? So it's a very uneasy mix, but at the same time, gripping.
Okay, so all wrong. We'll be there on Wednesday. Can't wait. Dave, Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes is out now in the cinema. So this is a Hunger Games prequel. Briefly, is this worth seeing?
If you're into Hunger Games, get in. This is basically Darth Vader, President Snow's story. It's not the Katniss story. It's how the Donald Sutherland character became Donald Sutherland. Tom Blight plays him. Lucy Gray Bird is played by Rachel Zegler, who sings quite a lot. But it is absolutely fantastic. 2 hours, 45 minutes. So get comfortable, but at least they didn't split it into two. If you like The Hunger Games, don't listen to anybody. Go see this film.
Okay, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, out now in cinemas. Nadine, you were saying a late entry here. You managed to get a look at a Ronnie O'Sullivan documentary, which is going up on Thursday on Amazon Prime. You're
Amazon
saying this
Prime.
Is really good.
It's called The Edge of Everything, and it's so good. And I think one of the reasons it's so good is because it's actually not really about snooker. It's about human psychology and the difficulty level that occurs in the mind when you're playing at the very highest levels. And as we all know, for decades, Ronnie O'Sullivan has been competing to be the world's number one. He is currently the world's number one, and he is so successful. But written across his face in this documentary is what it has cost him: the agonies, the difficulties of going on to be watched by millions around the globe as he competes. And there's some amazing contributors here. His friends Damien Hirst and also Ronnie Wood are very frank in how they characterise him. And at one point, Damien Hirst, the artist, says, he was talking about Houdini, and he says, Houdini would say, if you want to get an audience, just say at some point someone may die. And that's what it feels like with Ronnie. Every time he goes out, the turbulence in his mind, it's not even about his play, because he's a very instinctive player. It's about how he's psyching himself out, and he's so honest throughout this entire film. It's great.
That sounds brilliant. Okay, and it's called...
Oh, it's called The Edge of Everything, Ronnie O'Sullivan.
Okay, and that's up on Thursday on Prime. Dave, we might finish up on this. For All Mankind on Apple TV, season 4 is out. Like somebody, I think Donald Clark says it's the best television show ever made. I tried it a while back, a few episodes, I couldn't get into it. Is it amazing?
Absolutely love it. Like, yo, I think me and Donald should be sent to space just to hang out together and watch this, because it's just fantastic. It's basically alternate history where the Russians got to the moon first, and from that moment on, the timeline split, and you're just it. Like, the first season was very like Mad Men in space. It's all very slow fi, as in very low key sci fi. It's a bit the human story, but it's just the world building, the character building. Like, they're, you know, it's all about Mars for the last two seasons, but it's there. There's now 4 seasons up on Apple TV Plus.
Okay, if you're so just for anyone who hasn't seen it,
get in there. Because the guy who made it.
You need to give it a bit of a go for a few episodes.
Absolutely. It's the guy who did Battlestar Galactica, the remake. But I would highly recommend it.
Okay. Nadine, we do have time to mention, of course, the Late Late Toy Show. It's Toy Show time again next Friday.
It's so intriguing. Patrick Keelty, how will he manage with many children who want to mess up his life? I just think it's appointment viewing. And, you know, we were talking there about the Damien Hirst line, you know, something may go wrong. Many things may go wrong. And sometimes that's why you watch live TV.
No, we'd be watching it for the things that go right. Come on now. Dave, do you want to give a brief mention, actually, really brief, of Scott Pilgrim Takes Off?
Basically, animated version of the Brian Lee O'Malley's classic graphic novel was made into a movie with Edgar Wright. And the funny thing is, all the cast from the movie, the live action movie, are doing the voices of this. And it looks
on Netflix.
Beautiful. Netflix.
Yeah.
Get in there.
The kind of thing people like you like, yeah?
Absolute nerd heaven. I don't know what people like me means, but I'll take it as a compliment.
Absolutely. Okay, Nadine O'Regan and Dave O'Callaghan, thank you so much.